Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
There's no beach in Cleveland by any stretch of the imagination, but I know Daniel Oyafusi has been out there in the raging heat, no doubt about it. But I do want to say thanks for bringing me back. Beach Boys co-founder and architect of pop, Brian Wilson, dead at 82. Rest in peace to him. But we bring on ESPN Browns reporter Daniel Oyafusi on X at Daniel Oyafusi. Daniel, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, Gabe, but I'm not, you know, you must not be familiar with Cleveland's game. We do have the Rocky River Beach, you know, kind of, you know, okay, give South Beach a run for us money. So
come on. Hey, you're coming from South Beach, though.
I mean, this
is the first off season you've spent in Cleveland. But you've enjoyed the beaches. They're very comparable, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, nothing like it.
Hell yeah. All right, now this is your first off season covering OTAs, mandatory minicamp. You picked a good time to switch over to be in a Cleveland Browns beat reporter, because how has the scene been out there every single day at mandatory minicamp?
I mean, I'm telling you, so this is my first true off season. You know, I did join the beat last April, so I was around for mandatory minicamp, training camp. But you know, I went through the full off season circuit this year, and this is my seventh year going into my seventh year covering the NFL. I mean, I haven't covered anything like this, you know, with Shedeur Sanders, coming to Cleveland. You know, the media group out here seems like it's doubled. It feels like every practice, you know, everyone's just glued to the field, to the quarterbacks, to Shedeur, to Dylan Gabriel, to see how they're doing. So it's hectic, but it's a lot of fun for sure. So honestly, you could say it's one of the biggest stories in the entire league right now, if not the biggest story. So it's really interesting.
100%. Now, I want to remove the ESPN Cleveland quarterback tracker and the completion percentage and the touchdowns and the interceptions and all of the, and the clips, the House of Highlights. Like, I want to remove all that. From your vantage point, what have you seen from Shedeur Sanders, positive and negative?
Yeah, if we're just going by the eyes, you know, the eye test, what do the eyes tell you? My eyes told me that he's looked very polished. Like, that's the first word that always comes to mind as I've seen him. And I think that this is probably, okay, so we had two rookie minicamp practices. We've had two OTA practices, and now this is the second mandatory minicamp practice. So I've seen him six times on that field, and he just looks polished. He looks comfortable. He looks like he's always or most always in rhythm. Now, you do have to add the caveat that I haven't seen him take a single rep in team drills against the first team defense.
Sure.
All of his reps that I've seen have come against the second team defense and at times the third team defense. Today he actually did a lot of work with like the backups, while Dylan Gabriel did some work with the third stringers. But for the most part, it's been Shedeur that's taken all the second team offense reps and third team offense reps. So you have to add that caveat. Like, when Dylan Gabriel goes out against the first team defense, he doesn't look as good. But then when he played against the backups and the third stringers today, he looked pretty good. So you have to kind of keep all that in perspective when talking about Shedeur. But the thing, especially this time of the year, that I look for is, like, does the game look too fast for guys? And with Shedeur, it rarely ever looks like that. Like, there's actually a play today which I thought was his best throw, his best pass, my favorite play that I've seen from him, where they're in the low red zone, you're around the 5 to 8 yard line. He gets a shotgun snap, and he actually looks to his left, and he looks off the defense. And if you there's a video on my X page, he influences all the linebackers to the left, and then he quickly snaps back to his right, and then it hits tight end on a little stick nod for a touchdown. And that was my favorite play, because that was really him winning with his mind more than his arm and his physical tools, which I think he's going to have to do in the NFL, because he doesn't have all those elite traits that maybe a Cam Ward and some of these other guys had. So really polished, really composed. That's how I would describe Shedeur Sanders this offseason so far.
Now, speaking of his mind and speaking of the way he carries himself, we know that was the big conversation around the draft. And we can speculate that that is a reason he fell to the fifth round and the Cleveland Browns were able to get their hands on him. But you talked to him yesterday, the media talked with him yesterday, and he gave out really a good quote. When it's time for me to play, it's time for me to play. I'm not looking too far in the future. I'm focused on the small things, and over time, the big things will happen. When you compare the way he was viewed in the pre-draft process to what he looks like right out front of you guys in the media, how stark of a difference has it been?
I mean, it couldn't be more different. I mean, when you look at some of the draft reports that were coming out about calling him arrogant and saying that he was unprepared for meetings and that he didn't take them seriously. Like, it's hard to imagine that the guy who has had such great perspective and has said mm-hmm. all the right things since he arrived in Cleveland could be the same guy that supposedly bombed all these interviews. But I mean, regardless, it's behind him. And I think that that's been a big thing for not only him, but for this organization. Like, it doesn't matter what happened in the pre-draft process. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter where he was drafted. What matters now is him putting in the work. And we're hearing a lot of good things about what Shador is doing, not only on the field, but in the building, in the meetings room. You talk about OC Tommy Reese saying that he's working his tail off and that he can tell the game is slowing down for him. So really, like, whatever happened then, it really doesn't matter now. Right. There's an opportunity with Cleveland to potentially start early and to really be a model of consistency for a franchise that hasn't had that at the quarterback position in decades. So he's off to a good start for sure. And as we, you know, get into training camp later in July, we'll see, you know, how real of a chance of an opportunity he does have to be a starter for this team.
Now, when we're talking about Week one, it's a long way off. You have preseason, you have training camp, you have all those things to get evaluations and everything else. But when we look at this quarterback room, four guys, Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders, how do you expect Kevin Stefanski, Tommy Reese to work through this thing? And who do you think is most likely to run out there week one?
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how they handle reps for training camp and how much it differs from what they've done through the offseason workout program, because we saw the two OTA practices that were open to media. We saw Shador Sanders not really take a ton of reps. It was really Flacco and Pickett who were with the first team, and then later on they started to mix Dylan Gabriel in there, and again, Shador has not taken a first team rep. So, in my eyes, and I asked Stefanski this, you know, in my eyes, you would think that somebody who's under consideration to be the starter would get first team reps at some point. And if he starts to transition into joint practices, they have a pair of those with the Panthers and the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, those preseason games, you would expect that, you know, he would get those reps. So I don't know how they're going to divvy up the reps. You know, they keep on saying it's not going to be 25% across the board, but they're going to do what's best for the team. My guess is that both rookies make the team, and then the veteran that does not start is the odd man out. I personally think that it may be Kenny Pickett, because Joe Flacco has experience in this offense. He has, you know, a bit maybe more trust from Kevin Stefanski and this offensive staff. But they also traded, you know, a fifth-round pick and a quarterback for Kenny Pickett. They sought him out as a trade target earlier in the first free agency wave. But I do think it'll be one of the veterans that starts, and then the one that doesn't is the odd man out.
Now, with Joe Flacco, 40 years of age, a guy who still thinks he can play at a high level in the National Football League, and over the past couple of years, he's had some spot starts and still has shown some ability to be the gunslinger that we knew and loved when he won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens. But we know also he had the mentor comment that people tore apart, tore it to shreds. How do you feel, or what have you seen from him in regards to sort of the relationship he has with those young guys that were brought in? He still feels like he can play at a high level. He doesn't really embrace that mentor word. But what have you seen in regards to that from Joe Flacco?
Yeah, I mean, when we're watching practice, like in between, team drills, when they're kind of doing individual drills, or maybe the quarterbacks are getting a break, like we're seeing Flacco like laugh and joke with all the quarterbacks, you know, Gabriel, Sanders, Pickett, and, you know, anyone you talk to, they say that they have a really great working relationship in that quarterback room. Now, the "I'm not a mentor" comments are always, you know, they're always taken a certain way. And Flacco has spoken a lot about that, how like he doesn't think that the best way for him to lead is to just kind of roll over and say, hey, I'm not going to compete.
Right.
Like, they brought him in to compete, and the organization has said he's not a mentor. They brought him in to compete. But Flacco has also talked about the kind of natural mentorship that just takes place when you're working with a group of teammates. And like, the young guys are asking him questions, and it's not like Flacco is, you know, not receptive to that. Like, if they ask him questions, he's going to give them advice, and he's going to talk about his experiences. So from all reports, it's been a great working relationship. It's not like Flacco was like, you know, spurning all the young guys and, you know, kind of, you know, giving them a tough time. Like, no, it's just they're just naturally competing. And then over the course of, you know, being in a locker room, being in these meeting rooms, you just naturally lend your expertise when you've been in the league for what is going to be his 18th year.
Now, you have not seen much. We have not seen much from Shador Sanders yet. We're talking about OTAs and mandatory minicamp. But last question I have for you before I let you roll. What do you think the likelihood is that we see Shador Sanders start a game for the Cleveland Browns in the 2025-26 season?
The chances that he starts at least one game, I would say they are... that's a good question. I'm going to say 80%. Again,
oh, wow.
My prediction is that Flacco will be the week one starter. That's just how I think it's going to shake out, you know, over the next month or two. But we have to keep in mind, I think that one of the biggest factors that we're not focusing enough on is that this team drafted Dillon Gabriel in the third round with a top 100 pick. They saw a value in him. They became very impressed with him over the course of the pre-draft circuit. And I think that there's a lot of believers in him in that building. So if Shador Sanders is to start at some point this season, he would either have to, you know, really, really outplay Dillon Gabriel on the depth chart to the point where they feel comfortable maybe making him the backup. Or, you know, we're just going to have to go down this kind of this line and these dominoes of, you know, Flacco, you know, starts to struggle out the gate, and then maybe they go to Dillon Gabriel, and if he's not, you know, ready, then they go to Shador. So keep in mind, like, it's not only that he has, you know, maybe one or two veterans in front of him, but he has another rookie that the team thought more highly of him in front of him right now. So, you know, he might have to play the long game, which he talked about yesterday. He might have to, you know, just keep on getting ready during the season and then just be ready for when they may come to him. But I do think that it's a very tough schedule for this team out the gate. So I wouldn't be surprised if they start, you know, maybe 1-5, 0-6. Like, it's really tough. You know, they have the toughest, you know, strength of schedule in the first 6 weeks of the year. So it would not be a surprise to see them struggle out the gate. And then maybe once that schedule starts to ease up, they start to turn to one of the young guys.
And it really feels like, just looking at the schedule, you stare down that bye week at week 9. If they had one starter for those first 8 weeks of the season, just based on talent and based on last year, likely won't go well for the Browns. You stare down that bye week, week 9, there's going to be a lot of questions about, okay, who are you turning to after the bye week? Who's looking good? Who do you want to give a try to? So it's going to be interesting to watch, and I know you're going to be along for the ride the entire time, but Daniel, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining. Keep taking it in.
Anytime. Thank you.
Yes, sir. He is Daniel Oyufusi. He is the Browns reporter for ESPN. So a couple of interesting things from Daniel there regarding Shador Sanders. The first thing we'll start with, he said the one word that really summarizes what he's seen with his eyes from Shador Sanders. And mind you, this is a guy who doesn't have the whole playbook in front of him and learned. This is a guy who's running with the second team unit most of the time. But the word is polished. That's a solid word to hear when you're a 22-year-old rookie. That's a solid word to hear when you want a chance to go play for an NFL franchise, to have that sort of attached to your name. Obviously, this is one guy's opinion, and Daniels, who's been right there following along the entire time at Mandatory Minicamp. But polished is the word. I found that really interesting, Connor.
It's certainly good news if you're a Browns fan, that he looks polished and that the game doesn't seem like it's too fast for him. I do think it's very important, though, and you discussed it in every time you've talked about him. You said it in your tweet. Daniel brought it up. He is going up against second and third teams. He's not playing first-team defenses. But him having any level of comfortability already, doing this with NFL players, is a good sign.
Yes, and then – Daniel's opinion. I just want to throw that out there. Daniel's opinion. You know my opinion's 100%. But I ask him the likelihood of Shedeur Sanders suiting up and starting a game for the Cleveland Browns in the 2025-26 season. I expected a lower number. 80% is the number that Daniel Oyufusi, the Cleveland Browns beat reporter for ESPN, just gave us.
It's pretty high.
That's a really high number. That's a really high number. Now, again, he did stipulate that Dylan Gabriel, he was the third-round pick. He was the guy they clearly thought higher of than Shedeur Sanders, or else Shedeur Sanders would have been picked in the third round, and Dylan Gabriel would have been that fifth-round pick. There's people in that building that think highly of Dylan Gabriel, so Dylan Gabriel may get starts as well. But I absolutely see this Browns team turning to multiple faces behind center this year. There just seems to be, based on the schedule, based on actually who is in that room, the differences in ages, it seems like they're going to have to go through 2-3 quarterbacks, maybe even 4 by the time we get to the end of the year.
Yes. I also, real quick, Gabe, I just got a Shams notification.
Oh, God, what happened?
The Knicks have requested permission to speak with Atlanta Hawks head coach Quinn Snyder, but were firmly denied. What are y'all doing, man?
All right, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
But
in the end of the day, it just feels as if this Browns team is going to have to turn to multiple faces behind center. And, and Shedeur Sanders is one of those.
Yeah. Now, I do like one of the things I really enjoyed was the note about Joe Flacco there. Listen, his comment was silly, and I don't understand why veteran quarterbacks get all defensive about the moniker of being a mentor, but it sounds like he's doing what he is supposed to be doing.
Yeah,
he
which I like to hear.
Trying to help these young quarterbacks figure out their way in the NFL, and he understands the situation. The Browns understand the situation. I just don't understand why he's so defensive when people bring it up. But I also get the viewpoint that he wants to view it as, no, this is a quarterback competition. I'm not just here to try to give them the answers. There are things that they're going to have to figure out on their own. I will be here to help them out when they can. But at the same time, I'm not just going to give up my job because there's younger quarterbacks here. I understand that part of it. But I was pleased to hear that he seems to have a good relationship with Kenny Pickett, with Dylan Gabriel, and with Shedeur Sanders.
Yes, 100%. But you know, obviously the answers in front of the media do not reflect what we actually see take place on a day-to-day basis inside of a locker room. Become close. Guys learn lessons from each other. You learn lessons off the film. If you're a 40-year-old quarterback like Joe Flacco, if you're giving out pointers, I think that's part of your job.
Yeah, I also think that sometimes what happens is every once in a while, players will get asked a question, and they try to become a philosophizer. Yeah, like, now he's a philosophizer. And it's like, dude, just say yes or no. You know, he tried. I think what the point he was trying to make is that it happens naturally and it doesn't need to actually be said. But what ended up happening was just a complete word salad.
I'm not a
nonsense.
Mentor. And that's ultimately what we hear is I don't think I'm a mentor. And that's what we run with. And I will.
Now he's a philosophizer.
I will fully admit that. We in the way in sports talk and media, we have a way of picking and choosing what we hear.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Joe Flacco gave a good answer still.
No, it was a terrible answer.
Yes, I want to make that much clear. But you brought up the Shams thing. Quinn Snyder.
All right. Quinn Snyder's a great coach, but why the hell would the Hawks allow Quinn Snyder to go to the Knicks? What are they doing? This is the dumbest coaching search I've seen in a long time. Go hire one of his assistants. Go hire one of these assistant coaches.
I need someone in New York.
Or Michael Malone.
I need someone in New York covering the team. Fred Katz is a guy who does it. Go get me the inside scoop on where these ideas are coming from.
Dolan.
I can assume that, but I need to know for sure. I need to know for certain.
What's the funniest hire they could possibly make? Is it Darvin Ham?
Probably.
Or is it Doc Rivers?
Are they going to reach out to Doc Rivers? That was going to be the answer. That's the answer. If you see that they reach out to the Bucks to request an interview or to hire Doc Rivers, that's the funniest outcome.
The Bucks would be like, you're not calling about Giannis? You're calling about Doc? All right.
Okay, in that situation, you think the Bucks just let him walk?
Yeah.
What do you think that does for Giannis, though?
I don't know.
If they're trying,
Giannis likes Doc. Giannis likes Doc.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Probably say no.
Yeah. Good God. Can you just go get somebody that's available?
Right.
Is that that hard? That doesn't seem that complicated.
Is that Taylor Jenkins' music?
Oh, maybe. Maybe. He's going to have to get an interview at some point, the way this thing's
going.
They've
got to at least bring him in so they don't get denied.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Hour number two starts up next. We'll bring on David Cobb right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.